First of all, it's gonna be. These are the prices. 31st, you want the lighter. The 7th, the 14th, and the 21st.
The 7th and the 14th.
14th and 20th. I mean, I'm coming on the 20th, but it's late.
Oh.
So, I mean, I will probably have a lot of time.
Okay.
So, 7, 14,
20. The young men have any questions?
We don't have much time. You know, because I go home usually at midnight.
He said
so we don't have too much time together. Where is the rest of you anyhow? Somewhere, okay. If you have any questions, which inshallah I would be able to answer, might not very well be able not to, but ask away. You must have many questions. On the other hand, new Muslims, why should they have any questions? You know, they have everything.
I think Omar had a question that he wanted to ask. He's hiding. But he mentioned a question earlier to me. You had a question you wanted to ask.
You have a question?
No, Omar had a question he wanted to ask.
This is the question I asked earlier.
Didn't you have something you wanted to ask?
You have to raise your voice, Omar. I am deaf.
Stop.
Oh yeah, the question was like some around like.
Do you have the answer?
We've been asking, like me and the brothers, we've been asking this, like, what if? I just wanted to know, like, the strictness that the sisters. Like the brothers can't talk to the sisters, so it's like, how could you get to know the sisters if it's so strict that you can't talk to them? It was something around
so
that.
He wants to know, how can he get to know a sister for marriage if he can't talk to them and get to know them because it's so strict in male and female interactions?
We are in America. We are in 21st century. You think that it is difficult to find a mate? Imagine in the olden times. My father didn't see my mother. His friend was also a veteran of the First World War. They both had lost their arms. And they were saying, woe to us, nobody will want us with one arm. And his friend said, oh, I've got a beautiful girl for you, and that was his sister, my mother. And my father never saw her. My mother saw her from second floor of the building, looking down at him coming in and going out to the house. They were married. They stayed married till they died. They fought like cats and dogs. No, but they loved each other, they took care of each other. But here, I think it should be simpler. I think you can see women. But I understand lately what people are doing is that they are using the internet. If I were you, if I would perchance see somebody that there is a chemistry which worked with me, and when I saw my wife from far, and that was it. I remember one day she came to the door of my office, you know, and that was it, you know. So you see the chemistry, you know, that the donkey, the body, yeah, with most of us, we have got a little bit of sincerity. The soul shines from the body, you know. And you can, I'm not talking about, you know, beautiful hair and, you know, beautiful hands and face and so, yeah. But sort of generally speaking, you know, you see a woman or a woman sees a man, I think it works that way. How is it called? The first impression, or what is it called?
Love at first sight.
Huh?
Love at first sight.
Love at first sight. Thank you. No? Of course, it could all go wrong too. You know, but that's how it starts. No? So you find out where she lives, and then, you know, if it is possible, you speak to her. If not, you send your sister or your mother, you know, in the old fashion. You know, and it's possible. It is not impossible. I mean, if you think it's impossible today in America, can you imagine how it was then, you know, in Turkey or in Pakistan or elsewhere? But arranged marriages, I really am not against. Because arranged marriages were not forced. I remember that my Sheikh, Sefer Baba, who was terrible in marrying people, by the way, may he forgive me. but most of the time it worked, you know, arranged marriages. And besides, it wasn't forced, because they arranged the marriage, then you see each other, talk with each other, then she doesn't want you or you don't want her, and it falls down, you know. I mean, it doesn't have to happen. I don't know if America, you can do it today. You think it exists, arranged marriages today? I doubt it. No.
That's sort of what the internet is, isn't it?
But don't worry about that. Worry other things. You're a Muslim now. You know, this is like asking a question, you know, how am I going to make my living? I mean, there is, you are going to make your living. Some of you are going to have more, some of you are going to have less. You are going to have a mate, some of you are going to be lucky enough to have a good woman, some of you are going to have unlucky and she'll make your life miserable. No, but that's good too, because there are lots of stories about sheikhs, you know, who married a terrible woman, but they prepared their places in paradise, you know, with that experience. So, if you have a good wife, you are having it, your fun in the world, why should you have fun in the Jannah, you know? So you have to suffer here so that you... Don't worry, how old are you?
22.
22. You're
22. Look, don't hurry. By the way, don't be a fool like I was, like many of us was. You know, I got married first. My first marriage was, I was 23, and I suffered for almost 20 years. So, don't hurry. Everybody's getting married now late, right? How old were you when you got married?
31.
There you go, that's the right age. Yeah. See, he is happy now. And who was married at the age of 20 or 22? No, you stuck it out. You didn't.
No, no, no, his first wife.
First one, I was 21.
I was 25, and tomorrow's 10 years.
Yeah, mashallah. May it continue. You are one of the lucky ones. Any other questions? Yes.
I was wondering if you have any advice for people that are wanting to go down the spiritual path in terms of tasawwuf and Sufism, if it's like, if it's new for them.
What
advice would you give for the Muslim that's that wants to go down the path of tasawwuf and Sufism?
Bu seyri sülük manevi yolda, tasavvuf yolunda ilerlemek isteyenler için bir tavsiyeniz var mı diyor.
Allah-u Teala says that you will never have anything for which you do not work very hard. Like everything else, you have to work very hard. There is no that's not true. Astaghfirullah. I was going to say there is no free gift. What are we talking about? Our whole life is a free gift. You know. But not necessarily what we want, you see. I mean, from the moment we set foot on this world, you know, he feeds us, he cuddles us, he kisses us, he, you know, we are like in his arms like that. That Sheikh over there, I remember, Sheikh Muhayyaddin, one day he described the relation between the Creator and the created. He said that the Creator, every single one of us, not only the human being, the black ant who is working in the darkest of night on a black stone, he cuddles and kisses and feeds and everything, you know. But as far as human beings are concerned, he says his best creation. You know, we are like in his arms like that, and every day, you know, he feeds us and kisses us and loves us like that. This besides the point. But you see, we don't think of that because we are such spoiled bunch of idiots. You know, but beyond and beside that, there are the things which we need. In fact, we are the creatures of need. And for the things which we need, you know, we don't know whether these things which we need is really good for us or not. But, you know, so what you do is that you go work very hard towards what you need. Yeah? But I'm not talking material things either. You want to advance spiritually, right? But sometimes there are lots of people who want to advance spiritually so that people say, oh, whoa, what a great Muslim he is, you know, what a great alim he is, and what a great sheikh he is, and all that, you know? That obviously is not the right thing to do, right? But for that you work hard, and maybe then he will change you, and your intention was to be famous, and maybe in the way he will change the intention and he will make it that you want to be close to him, you know, and he will help you. But the short answer to your question is that you have to work hard for it. Yeah.
we have some people in the group that have expressed interest in wanting to go to Turkey and study. Is there any advice for those people?
I don't think you have to go to Mecca or Medina or Turkey or Damascus or Lebanon or this and that to study. You can perfectly well study here. Now, in fact, I mean, one somehow dreams of a Muslim country that you go there and then, you know, everybody is nice and clean and the atmosphere is a Muslim atmosphere, you know, and then you find teachers there is no such place. There is no such place. The best place is right here. You can do everything, you can learn everything right here. I don't know what you think. Turkey, you go to Turkey, you go to Lebanon, in some sense it's worse.
And sometimes you change your mind. He might change his mind also.
You may drop your Islam, right.
So if they were going to study here in the States, where would you recommend them starting? Because there's some in the group that are very serious about studying and pursuing the spiritual path and studying.
I am sure there are lots of places. I am sure there are lots of people which I hear about. They seem to be good people, you know. And I mean, it's true that there are as many ways to truth as the number of your breath. Is that a hadith?
Hazrat Mevlana.
Hazrat Mevlana. But it is hard to do it with yourself. What is important, what's extremely important, is a jama'at. To be together with other Muslims of goodwill. And in a way you can learn from each other. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, mu'min is the mirror of the mu'min. It's very difficult to see oneself. But it is two believers when they face each other, when they sit down and talk, if they are sincere, they really become the mirror of each other. What is very important, most important thing, is to really to know who one is. There is this hadith, man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu, he who knows himself knows his Lord. And that is the most important thing, to learn who you are. And I think to learn who you are, it is very important to be together with good mu'mins together, because you become each other's mirror. That is the most important thing. And this thing cannot be achieved with words. You see, you can get the wisest man. In fact, the wise men don't talk much. They are, their presence is an example. Talking about the mirror, if you sit with a wise man, somehow you don't learn so much from what he says, but just from his presence, being together, helps you. So these things cannot be learned by words. I said just the other day, in fact, I said, I am nobody. I repeat what I hear from somebody else, from somebody who really knows it. Me, I'm a tape, record. You know, I hear, I transmit. Hazreti Mevlana says, Celaleddin Rumi, you heard of him? Of course. Men know a lot. All of us, we know a lot. Some more, some less, but we know a lot. But all our knowledge consists of, I think I mentioned that before, of acquired knowledge. Either we read about it, or we heard from somebody, a teacher, you know. But most of the things which we know, we haven't experienced. The point is to experience things. But we are shy, afraid of experiencing things. Mevlana said that we live in imagination, we spend our lives not having any contact with reality whatsoever. But that's not going to get you anywhere. Yeah. So one should be daring. One should not be afraid. And one should experience things. Yeah. Yes?
Yes.
Even bad things.
For some of us that like, want to go overseas, it's not because...
Well, he says at the end, just a second, at the end of all these pages of things, he says that the best policemen are the people who were thieves. And they made tawbah of being a thief and they become the best policemen. So I mean, it's okay to be thieves. Yeah. Bad experiences are okay. So maybe in that sense, I am not such a bad shape, because I come from that place. Yeah. Yes?
Oh, but about what you were saying, Shaggy, about experience,
louder.
Even if it's good, or it's about you saying experience, even if it's good or bad, but some of us that want to go overseas, it's not because we can't learn over here, but to actually experience it. And, you know, amplify our culturalistic perspective on things. And also, like me, personally, I want to study in Africa just to experience and, like, close to the roots. So it's not just because I can't learn over here, but, like, I can actually amplify my knowledge and, like, my culturalistic perspective on how I see things in life.
Dışarıya gitmek istememiz, dışarıdaki kültürlerle tanışmak istememizin sebebi tecrübemizi artırmak için. Burada yeteri kadar her şeyi göremiyoruz, her şeyi tecrübe edemiyoruz. Başka Müslüman kültürlerle tanışıp onları tecrübelerimiz kötü de olabilir, iyi de olabilir ama
komşunun tavuğu komşuya kaz görünürmüş. The chicken of the neighbor seems to one a goose. Turkish proverb. That's why people want to come to America from from Muslim countries. If you want to see things, go to Cuba, go to China, go to Russia. Oh. There you will have experiences.
Bir soru var orada.
Baba, there's a question over here. What I've noticed is, mashallah, being in this community that everyone is in service to everyone, and it's a very beautiful thing to see. And I think when you're in service to everyone, you don't get burnt out because other people are serving you and you're serving them. It's a mutual relationship. But outside of the community, you want to be in service to people, and you get burnt out because no one else is. Everybody's individualistic. Everybody's about themselves. And how do you continue to be in service to people without getting burnt out?
Burada diyor, bu cemaatte çok hoşuma giden bir gözlemim diyor. Herkes herkese hizmet ediyor diyor. Dışarıda genel olarak diyor herkes fazla bireysel. Yani bir kişi hizmet ediyor, herkes bireysel davranıyor. O zaman da biraz bıkkınlık geliyor diyor. Bu gibi durumda hani burada herkesin hizmet ettiği bir ortamda hizmet etmek daha kolay ama dışarıda yoruluyor insan. Bireysel insanlarla uğraştığı için ferdi.
Well, see, hareket. I mean, instead of paying the airfare and going to Turkey or going to Saudi Arabia, God preserve, and all this kind of thing, and go to Iraq and whatnot and Pakistan, come here. It's cheaper. You see, what was it, 4 hours? And this is foreign land. This is not America. Is it America? No. Where do you find an America place like that? But you see, what you see here is precisely the jamaat, the togetherness, the brotherhood, the unity, And we sincerely do love each other, and maybe more so than our own brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers here, of course, if you love somebody, you try to help somebody, you serve each other, So that's what I mean. That inshallah, you too. One day we'll create such a community, who really care for each other, who really love each other, and really help each other, and hold hand in hand, hand in Allah's hand, So this business of new Muslims wanting to go to Muslim countries, is really the same sense of adventure as the Muslims wanting to come to America. It's adventure. As I said, if you want adventure, then you go to a society which is totally different, and go see the Buddhists. Go see the communists. So you'll be happy that you're a Muslim.
Will Baba feel that like geographical proximity is an important element in creating that kind of reality that he's speaking of, that kind of community?
Aynı bölgede yaşamak bu böyle bir cemaati kurmaya yardımcı olur mu diyor. Yani farklı yerlerde yaşayanların böyle bir cemaat kurması daha mı zordur?
You mean geographically?
Yeah, being together like distance geographically.
Well, many of us we lived all sorts of places. Mm-hmm. We sort of moved close, and some of us still you see, she lives in, what is it?
Boston.
Yeah, she lives in Boston. Anybody else who lives here? No?
Connecticut.
Yeah.
Connecticut.
when you live 5 hours from now, here you are. I mean, you know, people can move once a week or so to get together, you know. And our center is in Istanbul. We have centers in California, we have centers in Toronto, we have centers in Southern Chicago, America. We have centers in Chile, in San
Argentine,
Santiago, and we have
Buenos Aires.
In Argentina, San you know, and, but we are together, you know? We have a little group in Philadelphia, huh? I mean, the communications, I am in continuous communications with all sorts of people from the other end of the world. You know, send poor Guzida here, you know, receives all sorts of emails, you know, and, you know, I don't know anything about computers, but I answer every email I get right away, you know, so we are in communication with people. No, I mean it's really much simpler now, with emails and phones and this and that kind of thing. It's just distance is not so important anymore.
Assalamu alaikum, Baba. It says that we have two houses. A house that we can see, which is dunya, and the one house that we cannot see, which is akhirah. How do we know that we can preserve and make sure that we get to the right path once we die? Because once we go, we will never come back.
How can we make sure we?
Because we get to the right path. Because once we die, we'll never come back. We'll never come back to dunya. Hmm.
İki tane evimiz olduğu söyleniyor. Biri bu dünyadaki evimiz, bir de öbür taraftaki evimiz. Anladığım kadarıyla hangi yolda yürümeliyiz ki öbür tarafta doğru evimize ulaşalım? Bir kere öbür tarafa gittikten sonra buraya geri dönüş yok.
İki evimiz, it's not, we don't have two homes, we have one home. This is a motel here. This is a motel here. We will go, inshallah, all home one day. But there is a reason why we were sent from home here to this motel. That we have to prove to the one who created us that we are worthy of the intent that he created us for. When? Someone makes us from wet clay. In that, like a beautiful sculpture. And then breathes inside us from his own soul and makes us sit down and teaches us the names of all and everything, including his own names, And he says afterwards that I am making you my Khalifa, my representative, and then ships us to this hotel with a certain duties. No. And we have to do honor to the one who created us, who educated us, and who put us all this potential in us. And he sent us here saying that I have created all and everything for you and you for myself. And we are here to prove that we are worthy of these honors and of these gifts which he has given us. So, in short, we really are responsible of everything else which he has created, like a governor would be, like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He used to say, while during my Khilafat, if a goat will pass through a bridge and will fall down from it into the water, it's my responsibility. Do we feel this responsibility? I mean, you were talking about serving each other. Because again, it is Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu who said that a good ruler is the one who is a servant to the ones who he rules. Because we think that when you rule somebody, they are your servant. No, you are their servant. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, this is this kind of responsibility which we have to assume, you know, in our lives on this planet. But we don't. We just, you know, eat and drink and, you know, go to bed with our wives and we think that's what life is. And that, in fact, that is what is important about Ramadan. So you say you don't eat and you don't drink and you don't sleep with your wives. Yeah? and so maybe you can feel that feeling. You know, that really is not the meaning of life, to eat and drink and have fun. No. And it seems such a huge thing, but who am I? I cannot do it. You know? Are you kidding me, Khalifa? You know, the ruler of the world, and I have to take care of everybody here? Oh, no. Huh? Oh, yes. Not oh, no. Oh, yes. So you try your best, you know, what you can do, and you cannot correct everything. You cannot feed everybody. You know, you cannot wipe the tears of everybody, and, you know, but you try. Huh? I mean, but we don't. We want people to help us and not us help them, because, and we have got a good excuse. Who am I? You know? Who am I to help him? No, I'm a 90-year-old guy who can hardly walk. Huh? But I try. Yeah. So you ask me about how to advance. He says one thing which is very important, which touches me very much, is the person who Allah loves most is the one who he makes others love Allah and make Allah love them. That maybe is not so difficult to make others love Allah, but how do you make Allah love them? But that's the task. That's the task. And he says that he does not charge us with anything which we cannot do. He doesn't expect us to do anything which we cannot do. So he knows us, what we can do and what we cannot do. So we underestimate ourselves. In one sense, we are arrogant like a donkey. You know, that we think that we are so great, and with it, when it comes to doing something, we say, oh, but I am so weak, I'm so poor, I am so dumb, you know, I can't do it. Yeah? But on the other hand, we say we are so great, you know. So which one is true? Yeah? If you're so great, why don't you do something? Yeah?
The scariest part about what he says in the Quran, that Allah says he loves us, but he could also careless if we don't believe him, that he could put us in a hellfire and bring a new generation that could follow his rules.
Say again.
That he says that he loves us, but he could also careless if we disobey to him, to put us in the hellfire and bring a new generation that could follow his rules.
Allah-u Teala bizi sevdiğini söylüyor. Fakat en çok korktuğum şey, aynı zamanda eğer emirlerime uymazsanız sizi cehenneme koyarım ve yerinize de başka bir grup getiririm, insan yaratırım diyor.
Evet,
bu beni çok korkutuyor diyor.
İşte korktuğu yapıyor. That's why he tells you so that you are afraid.
Yeah, that's the scariest part I'm saying. That, that he could careless.
So that's why he tells you, otherwise he won't put you in Jahannam, don't worry. But he wants to scare you.
Tam tersi değil mi?
Ha?
Tam tersi değil mi söyledim? Yani emirlerime uymayanları yok ederim değil, hepiniz emirlerime uysaydınız.
Evet.
Yerinize günah yapan
evet.
Bir... Yani tam tersini söyledi, onun için söyledi. Korktuğu şey tam tersi.
Evet.
Yani Allah'ın söylediği, eğer hiçbiriniz günah işlemeseydiniz, sizi silerdim, yerinizde günah işlemedim.
Söyle.
So, what we know is that Allah Ta'ala says that if you were a community who do not commit any sin, I would destroy you and I would bring another community who would sin.
Yeah, you
just
took
opposite
it wrongly.
Of what you said.
By the way, I don't approve of your riding a motorcycle. How much did you pay for that motorcycle? Huh?
Something I bought it.
Cut? Ne vermiş?
600, 700.
$700 verdim diyor.
Well, you can find a used car for that price.
Yes, Baba. There's something to get around.
I mean, that's a death machine.
Yes, Baba.
You know, please be at least very, very careful. Yeah.
Okay, Baba. My wife will say the same thing.
Right. We will say the same thing. His wife.
So you see, you are afraid you are going to Jahannam, you will go very quickly if you...
Thank you.
by not riding a motorcycle, you can at least delay it. Okay, me too, I'm going. Sleep well. You have suhoor, you know that.
What time should we be ready in the morning?
Huh?
What time should we be ready in the morning?
Suhoor, 3 o'clock. Suhoor will start at 3.
Does the Azan come at 3?
No, 3:45.
Huh?
3:45, Azan comes.
Well, put the Azan at 3 so that that will wake them up.
Okay.
Yeah.
3 o'clock. When you
because
hear
you
the
don't have any clocks or anything, right?
I'll make sure everybody
you do.
They have, so I'm not going
to. Okay, 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Okay. Mm.
Come down for some.
Okay, inshallah.
Okay.
Inshallah. Okay. So sleep well. I know you are going to go upstairs and we are going to talk till 3 o'clock. That's also okay.
Isn't it? Yeah.
No, I mean,